Hey, this is Dave Brenner, guitar player for Theory of a Dead Man. You're listening to GeekCast Radio Network.
You're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to GeekCast Radio's Rockin' Radio. This edition of RR features myself, TF2 and Mike, and JT from Saskatoon. Hello.
How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Today, the two of us will be going a million miles an hour because we are all on the edge of a revolution, so what are you waiting for? We are about to make you believe again in Nickelback's new album, No Fixed Address. So get ready for some NB gushing because we're going to be bringing the hammer down on this episode of GeekCast Radio. When did you first hear about No Fixed Address, or when did you first hear about them getting a new album or going ahead and doing a new album?
Well, it involved a certain scrappy young lad from Kentucky.
Yeah. I think I first heard about...
You were, like, the first one. Like, every morning I wake up and I look at my phone, as so many members of our society do nowadays, because we are the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike had tweeted... It was either on Facebook or on Twitter. There was... Like, you know, I look at my notifications and I was like, okay, Mike Blanchard tagged you in this post. And I clicked, that was like, oh, sweet, new Nickelback, you know, because I love Nickelback. You remember the previous episode on the GeekCast Radio when we were doing the music spotlight way back when,
right,
you and I gushed. But I don't, like, follow like the website, or I'm constantly looking for news. It's like, oh hey, new Nickelback, awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I checked it out and listened to like the first track, you know, the Revolution.
Yeah.
Or God, I'm already forgetting it. And
Edge of a Revolution. Yeah,
Edge of a Revolution. You know, listen to the I think there was like a YouTube link had come up not too long after that. And I checked it out. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, it's standard Nickelback. That, not that that's a bad thing, you know, it's just you've kind of heard this sort of tune before, but it's still pretty good nonetheless. And you know, over time checking out stuff, you find the new No Fixed Address's new album, then you see the actual album art, you hear the second song, was it Believe, I think it was the second track they released from it.
No, What Are You Waiting For?
What Are You Waiting For? Yeah. And, you know, I like that one as well. And, you know, I tried getting in. You had sent this link for, like, the listen free on, like, Google Play or iTunes or something. And
mm-hmm.
I think I just missed the time frame that it was open. I never got a chance to listen to that. But, you know, day one, you know, Monday, I bought it on my iTunes and I've listened to it a number of times since. We'll get more into it as we go, but I've really enjoyed it.
For me, it was, I don't necessarily follow their website. I follow them on Twitter and Facebook and that kind of thing. I mean, I look at the website every now and then, but I don't go there like all the time looking for news. When they had released the Greatest Hits disc, which... at least it took them a number of years to do so. Let me see here. Where is... Okay, so they released a... when was this? This was Extended Plays. That's Hesher. Best of Nickelback Volume 1. They released it November of last year. November 4th of 2013. And, you know, I had tweeted you then about it, or I Facebooked you then about it, and was like, oh, yay, it's everything from this, it's everything from Silver Side up to All the Right Reasons. And, well, and at that point, you know, Here and Now, because When We Stand Together is on there as well. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting because they said, oh, 2013, we're going to have the greatest hits disc and we're going to have a new album. 1 year later,
nope.
one year later, we finally get the new album, which is fine. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm sure yeah, they when, had.
But they need that. So you go.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm when it comes to announcements like that, it's like we're going to have a greatest hits album and a new one by the end of the year. I'm just like, it's like Kronk and Emperor's New Groove, right? With the finger guns, because, yeah, just Pinocchio knows, just whoop. But, yep. I never grabbed the physical copy of The Greatest Hits. I've got, you know, I've got my iTunes. And
I didn't even go there. I wasn't going to, because there's nothing on it. You know, no offense. I mean, I will support the band as long as it's, you know, stuff I don't already have. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All right, you know, I'll just run down this. There's 19 tracks. Photograph, How You Remind Me, Burn It to the Ground, Rockstar, Saving Me, Figured You Out, Too Bad, If Today Was Your Last Day, Far Away, Feeling Way Too Damn Good, Someday, Never Again, Lullaby, If Everyone Cared, Gotta Be Somebody, When We Stand Together, Animals, This Afternoon, and Something in Your Mouth. I have all of those tracks on all of the original albums that I've already bought. What is... Okay, I understand the purpose of this Greatest Hits in case any new fans come in and don't want to buy all the original albums. I get that. But me as a super fan of the band, there's no way in hell I was buying this.
Well, I'm kind of a completist when it comes to collecting stuff I love. I mean, I didn't love Amazing Spider-Man 2, but I still bought the DVD. So... that's my mea culpa for this. And you know, it's just to speak briefly about some of these songs, Rockstar is, you know, top five all-time favorite Nickelback songs. And was it, I was just, while I was looking on, like, watching some Nickelback videos last night, I came across one where they're performing Rockstar in London, I think, last year, year before, and they brought out Chris Daughtry on stage like, he joined in on the song, and I was like, how is this not an actual track?
I know, right?
You know, and that's the one complaint I had, and it's only the complaint I have about their Greatest Hits package, is they didn't have, like, some live stuff or something like where Chris Daughtry joined them on stage. Like, you know, make it a little more worth our while. Like, make it, like, what's the, but there's a Bon Jovi hits collection I bought last year where it's a two disc set. And the first disc is a lot of the ones that everyone knows, you know, the top 40 radio hits. And the second disc is, like, other very popular Bon Jovi tracks and a couple of lives, I believe. You know, it's something like that. That's what I would have wanted out of the Greatest Hits thing here. But, I mean, all in all, I still, you know, I bought it because I'm a completist and I love the band. So, although I have found in the last year, whenever I say out loud, I like Nickelback, less and less people look at me with that, are you special? Look in their face. Like,
Here's the thing. It's like, these guys, we are at this point, we're at the end of 2014. Usually around November, December, I start thinking it's 2015. It's just the way my internal clock works, because it's the end of the year. We're almost done. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. We're all, you know, the big fat guy in the red suit's almost here. And then everyone can get drunk on December 31st. Well, you do that every night at your job. No, not really, but you know what I mean.
Well, sometimes after work.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, like, for me, it's like, okay, this is the end of the year. 2014 is over. Nothing really super major is going. Okay, I'm sure there is things that are going to happen. But you know what I mean? It's like, this year is in the record books for me. So as of right now, we are 1 year or 1 year and 2 months away from the 20th anniversary of when Nickelback first came on the scene in 1996. 2016 is their 20th anniversary. The band has been around for 20 years. They have put out 8 total studio albums with several extended plays and you know, you get the greatest hits thing. You've got all the DVD packages they've done in 20 years. You know, people can say what they want about the band and what they want about the music. I'm sorry. Nickelback has staying power. They obviously have fans because every single album that they've put out has never failed to sell.
Yeah. And the best way to kind of encapsulate that is while looking up stuff, like I read the Billboard review of No Fixed Address, which is honestly a lot more, it's more balanced than I would have expected. Billboard.
It is Billboard. They have to be somewhat impartial.
Yeah, but they also, you know, the reviewer that reviewed Nicki Minaj's Anaconda gave it like 2-3 stars, and I was like, whatever they paid to Sir Mix-a-Lot to sample Baby Got Back wasn't nearly enough. But that's besides the point. I'll send you the link. We can put it in the show post. I looked up Rolling Stones as a reader's poll, the 10 worst bands of the 90s. Creed was number one, but that's not really a surprise. And in the article...
Let me
read this.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. It's in the little spot there when they're talking about Nickelback, who is at number two.
Mm-hmm.
It says, they ended with, they still sell a lot of concert tickets, and they'll probably have the last left because they're still hugely successful, or they'll still be hugely successful 10 years from now. And that's the thing. You can't satisfy everybody all the time. It's like, I think Nickelback's a great band. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't think they're the greatest band in the world. That belongs to Kiss. But, you know, if you like something, you like something. And the... with an honest, like, yeah, I like blank. And the way some people try to jump down your throat, oh, how could you like that? Blah, 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 blah. And I was just, okay, that's kind of like somebody commenting on abortion. It's really none of your fucking business. So, you know, we love the band. What else can we say?
So you mentioned Creed, all right? So here's the thing. In the 90s, the biggest rock band battle in the 90s was Creed versus Nickelback, who is going to last the longest. And we all know Scott Stapp went nuts several times in the past 20 some odd years. And Creed tried to make a comeback, it didn't work. But see, Nickelback has never been gone. Creed was gone for a number of years in this history.
Yeah, like 90% of the band morphed into Alter Bridge, but...
Well, yeah, and they're much better for it anyway, because Alter Bridge is amazing. I still haven't listened to their latest album, Fortress. I need to. I haven't yet, though. But, you know, Nickelback, say what you want. Say that every single song sounds the same. I guarantee you, you cannot say that about all 11 songs here on No Fixed Address. You just can't. This album is by far the biggest departure. Yes, there are your classics that sound like other songs, like Edge of a Revolution, whatever it's called. It does sound a little bit like some of their other tracks. There, you know, What Are You Waiting For sounds a little bit like a couple of their other ballads, but some of these other songs that we're going to be talking about, they are just so not what you would expect Nickelback to be.
They spread their wings and, you know, try other things.
Absolutely.
It was bound to happen sooner.
So my buddy, our buddy Steve Megatron, 11 days ago or so, tweeted at me and said, "Hey, TFGN Mike, here you go. Things that make you go, what's better, Nickelback or Congress? Nickelback has a 37% rating. Congress has 32. So at least people like Nickelback more than Congress.
Yeah. Well done, Steve. Well done.
You know, so...
what was that thing? The people you could spend... better spend your money buying a deep fried pickle or something. You had sent a picture of me last year. Goddamn Flo Rida's on this album. What the hell?
Okay. All right. We're going to get into that. So,
I know. I had to say something. Right?
I know. So how we're going to do this is we are going to go track by track, but we're going to talk about the first three tracks, the next three, and then the final. It's basically going to be four different clips here, folks. And in each clip, I'm going to use the iTunes previews because I view that as, you know, free use. I mean, I'm going to go into the iTunes store and preview each track and record it off my computer, so you'll hear them in the podcast, but it's not the full song. It's just a sample. So, you know, free use, whatever.
Please don't sue us.
Well, no one, I mean, look at all the music I put in the music spotlight last year, so no one's come after us yet. So the first three tracks we're going to be talking about coming up after the break here is Million Miles an Hour, Edge of a Revolution, and What Are You Waiting For? We'll be back after this. All right, so we start off with tracks 1, 2, and 3. Track 1 is Million Miles an Hour. This should be in a Need for Speed game.
Ooh. Not so sure I agree with you on that. I like A Million Miles an Hour. I do. The only, and this is really the only nitpick I have aside from Flo Rida being on the album, is
we'll
that,
get to that
weird...
at the end of the
No, I know, we'll get to it. I'm just saying. What bothers me about this track is that weird warbly, well, not the weird that weird, it sounds like Chad Kroeger singing from underwater at a couple of points in the song. Like there's that weird ripple sound over his voice, which I found that took me out of the song a little bit. And
yeah,
but other than that, I really did like, I like the, you know, the way it leads in that the first like 20 seconds or so, you get like that weird like electronic wave sound into like a very, I say this with all love, a very traditional Nickelback guitar riff, you know, leading into the lyrics and all that. It's just that weird warbly sound that they put over Chad Kroeger's voice. Yeah. You know, it's just takes me out of it a little bit.
Well, I think for me, it's one of those things where I like, let me see here. Let me open this. You know, looking at the lyrics, you know, basically when I said, I think this needs to be in a Need for Speed game is, you know, every time you turn on a radio in Need for Speed or Grand Theft Auto, half the time you only hear a half of the song and then it changes to something else or whatever else, unless you do your own custom, you know what I mean? Unless you do your own custom music in the game. But, like, the chorus here, a million miles an hour, a million miles an hour, we're going a million miles an hour. It is, you know, that kind of thing. You know, that's really what I was thinking of when I was doing, when I was thinking, you know, said it should be in like a racing video game. I like the track. I think it opens up really nicely. It's not your, it is kind of classic Nickelback, but it is also very different. And I think that that watery or that reverb under his voice is why it is so different and not like what we would normally hear. And then we get to track two, which is Edge of a Revolution. And this is their political song.
It's also the theme song to this year's Survivor Series.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, damn. I haven't watched Raw in a couple of weeks. Others like Gotham and The Blacklist have been taking over my Monday recordings. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's, and honestly, it's about the only draw for me on this year's Survivor Series. And I'm just going to leave it there because this is one of the current state of the WWE is one of those things where I will start ranting for 10 minutes and you will not hear me take a single breath. So, but no, I dig Edge of a Revolution. It's not something they have covered before. Right. It's as much as I like it, it's just one of those things. It's like, you guys have done this already a couple of times. You know, it's more politically minded because, you know, I read an interview, Chad Kroeger's talking about how this is like reflecting on, you know, the fat cats on Wall Street and,
right,
you know, stuff like the war in Ukraine and all that, you know, Putin and Russia and basically how government treats their citizens. And I'm kind of paraphrasing the Wiki article here. It's, right. Again, this sounds like a standard Nickelback track, but of all the stuff on the album, this is the one that I was like, that made me think, you guys can do better. Not that it's, not that it's a bad track. It's just, you know, they've done it before, and it's something they take pride in with these more political and politically and socially minded tracks that come out with a lot of their work in the last two or three albums. Mm-hmm. It's just, something about it, for some reason, just like, you guys can do better, can't you?
Well, just, you know, you look at this one, you look at Edge of a Revolution, and you look at When We Stand Together. Those, you know, When We Stand Together from Here and Now and Edge of a Revolution, they are very similar, even though When We Stand Together is not really political. But it's still taking a stance for Canada, America, the world, whatever. You know,
well, it's a very socially minded sort of song.
Right, right. And Edge of a Revolution, it's not a bad song. It really isn't. I really enjoy it. I like it. I think it's kind of funny at certain points. I love how they're saying, hey, look, we are on the edge of a revolution because we do need change. In the U.S., I don't know about in Canada, I can't speak for that, but at least in the U.S.
This current political climate.
Yeah, we really do need change here in the U.S., and we probably need change all over the world. So I'm kind of glad that they did this. I'm not so sure it should have been a lead single, but at least there, I think the reason why they put it as the lead single was that, hey, look, it's Nickelback, but we're not just talking about beer and sex anymore, you know?
Yeah. Let me say it like this. I get where they're coming from with this song, and especially and not knocking Your Fine Country, Mike, but when more people turn out to voice for Dancing with the Stars and American Idol than actual political elections, something got to be done.
Yeah.
Although I gladly voted for Alfonso Ribeiro in Dancing with the Stars this year.
It's, God. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for is the third track on the album. It really, it's like your classic Nickelback ballad, but it really isn't at the same time. I mean, it's, you know, it has the same kind of lyrics as other things, kind of like Photograph, kind of like, kind of like Trying Not to Love You from Here and Now, kind of like Someday from The Long Road. But at the same time, it's still very different than a lot of, you know, a lot of their other stuff.
It's a little more emotional, I think, than some of their other ballad type songs like this. And I hesitate to use the word hopeful, but there's a more positive. There's more of a positive vibe to this song, I think.
Yeah. Now that I'm reading through the lyrics, I know they didn't do this, but this would have been awesome if they did. What if they had help from Stan Bush to write this song? Because as I'm reading the lyrics,
That would have been so good.
Dude, listen. As I'm reading the lyrics on azlyrics.com here, after the first verse here, it says, "You gotta go and reach for the top. Believe in every dream that you got. You're only living once, so tell me, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You know you gotta give it your all, and don't be afraid if you fall." This sounds like something Stan Bush would write, because he writes that uplifting, you know, believe in yourself kind of music. And I'm like, oh my God, I would love to see Stan cover this. I would love to hear Stan's version of this song. This would be amazing.
Dude, you know what? Who you're tweeting to after we're done recording. Show live. You're like, Stan, ooh, I got a new one. But yeah, no, that's there is a positivity to this track that is real. I find kind of refreshing in that it's not that Nickelback has ever been really negative about stuff. I think there is like the one song on Dark Horse. Just to Get High. I found that to be like one of their darkest songs. Like, that there wasn't really a lot of fun to be had with that particular track. But this one, it's not that there's fun, but there is just this there's a positivity to this song that I haven't heard from Nickelback in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And this, so far, this one is standing out as, you know, front runner for my favorite track on the album. I mean, granted, I've only listened to it 3 times, so, you know, I tend to want to take my time before I make that call.
Yeah, so far, because of the lead singles, Edge of a Revolution and What Are You Waiting For, I've listened to them. I've listened to Edge 130. I've listened to this 51. And the rest of the album, I really, like, I took super advantage of that iTunes first play. Even though there are ads in it, I had already heard the entire album like 3 days in a row before we ever, like last week when it first hit, before the album even dropped. What Are You Waiting For? I will say that it is a fun song and is a very uplifting song. I guess I would compare it to maybe Holding On to Heaven from Here and Now, because that was kind of an uplifting song, a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, so there is
Holding
that.
On to Heaven, or what was... Oh, God, my brain's just not working today. Don't Ever Let It End.
Don't Ever Let It End.
I would liken it more to that, because that one's just got that kind of sweet romanticism to it, so...
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear another song selection from the album, No Fixed Address, from Nickelback. Next, you're going to hear pieces of She Keeps Me Up, Make Me Believe, and Satellite. We'll be back after this. All right, folks, She Keeps Me Up, Make Me Believe Again, and Satellite. She Keeps Me Up, I feel like we're in a 70s roller rink, dude.
It's got
did you hear the 70s twang music in the
well, yeah,
music?
it's got that, there's more bass in this song than other Nickelback songs. It's got that funk, you know, guitar playing there, and it makes this song a lot more, it's more fun, you know. Mm-hmm. It gives it that beat, that energy.
Right. I want to know who the female background vocalist is on this, just because I'd like to know who it is.
It certainly couldn't be anybody intimately aligned with Chad Kroeger, could it?
You think it's Avril?
Yeah. Can you think of a better suspect? It could happen.
It's possible. I mean, and okay, since we brought her up, I know I have no stake in what the band does or doesn't do in their professional career, other than the fact that I purchased their music. You know, I don't know these four guys from, you know, a rock, but I'm sorry, I get super defensive and super pissed when I read iTunes reviews of people, like, reviews that aren't even reviews. Somebody will write, like, a one-word thing for the title of the review, and then they'll just write one word, oh, crap, or, oh, what? That's not a review. If you're going to write an iTunes review, sit there and write a half of a paragraph giving your opinion why you like or don't like the goddamn thing. Don't just sit there and write poop, because that just aggregates wrong reviews on iTunes. But I will say with the iTunes thing, and then we brought up Avril, one of the negative iTunes reviews was like, it's like they're letting Avril write these songs. It's so bad. And I'm like, wait, what? Seriously? And she is not on any of the... I'm looking on the Wikipedia. Her name is nowhere on the writing credits on these 11 songs. You know, so, I mean, hey, if it is her as the background singer, that's fine. I mean, I like this track. I like She Keeps Me Up. I think it's a really, really good track. I don't even think I can... I don't think I can compare it to anything else that they've done to this point, and it's because of that 70s bass.
Well, yeah, and like I said, beginning of the show there, this album is one of their... I guess you could say this is like what the first album they've really departed from, like, the standard Nickelback formula, you know, where they're experimenting a little bit and they're trying new things and everything like that. It's, and this is like the first track on the album that really drives that point home. Like, have you ever heard, have you ever conceived of Nickelback and funk in the same idea before? It kind of works. It's not a particularly strong song, I think, but it's got this lyrical flow that I can't help but enjoy. And like, What Are You Waiting For? It is probably like the second most kind of positive song on there. I know I've read a couple of reviews about the album where they mention this song in particular, and you know, it's like, oh, and there's this song that delves into the standard Nickelback trope of sex, drugs, and strippers. I was like, okay, I don't really get the strippers in there. I mean, there's a couple, some of the lyrics speak of, you know, having relations on the kitchen counter, but name me one Nickelback album that doesn't have a song involving that activity, and really, is that such a bad thing? So, but no, She Keeps Me Up is, it's a great track. You know, it's not the strongest one in the album, but it's not the worst, so.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just, I guess, like, lyrically, I would compare it to Midnight Queen from Here and Now. Because it's the same kind of lyric where, you know, he's talking about sex and whatever else, so. That's what I would really probably compare it to. I don't, maybe Shaking Hands, but Shaking Hands from Dark Horse was more of a story about a hooker than anything else. So, all right, next up we've got Make Me Believe Again. This kind of reminded me of like the Silver Side Up days. A little bit.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a throwback for them. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? There's more... I wouldn't say... Silver Side Up is... This kind of throws me back to How You Remind Me a bit. Because you can really... I think you can really hear the passion in Chad Kroeger's voice and his performance here. You know, he's not emoting, but you can feel that intensity, for lack of a better word, you know, come out of this. And it's one that I particularly enjoyed listening on this album. Like, I would say that this is up there with, I'm just going to say it, this is my favorite track on the album. Like, because this is like, this just, you know, it hits all the major points for me in a great, good song. You know, it's got that sort of quality to it that, you know, gets the blood flowing, kind of pumps me up a little bit. And that's one of my favorite things about a lot of Nickelback songs is that, like, they get me pumped up like that. You know, they get me going, give me that burst of energy. And that's why I like this song, because it gets me going like that. So, I mean, there's a couple of songs here that I really like, like What Are You Waiting For? And She Keeps Me Up. I love those songs. But this is the one that I would listen to on repeat more than any other song on the album.
Right, right. And then the final track in this block of the podcast is Satellite. Satellite is probably their most poppy song on the album. Probably. Because of the lyrics. I mean, it really reminds me of the olden days, and I say olden days, I mean, like, 15, 16 years ago when the dating revolution of the internet really started. That's what this reminds me of, is some internet chat room, private chat, Yahoo private chat, whatever. That's what it reminds me of, is like an old instant message conversation between a man and a woman. That's what this reminds me of.
Oh, God, don't remind me.
I know, right?
I listening to this song, I can't help but think that Satellite is this album's lullaby from here and now.
Yep.
It's maybe not as emotionally intensive as Lullaby. I mean, especially when you see the music video.
Right.
But it's got that kind of... there's almost a little bit of a kind of a melancholy, just a little bit. There's a bit of a melancholy sadness to the song.
Right.
I don't think it's like exclusively supposed to be sad or tragic or anything like that, but that quality, like the same quality that was inherent in Lullaby, is in Satellite. And this is one of those kind of slower, more emotional songs that Nickelback does very well, I think. And I really enjoyed this one as well, but I never got the internet dating thing that you're referencing.
He's talking
about... I understand the example, but...
He's in the lyrics, he's talking about, the beginning of the song.
He's kind of being in the same orbit as this chick.
Right, right. He says in the beginning of the opening lyric is, "I know it's late, but something's on my mind. I couldn't wait. There's never any time. Because life slips by without warning, and I'm tired of ignoring all the space that's between you and I." So space between you and I, that is one of the parts of the lyric that reminds me of a long-distance relationship or an internet relationship. "Let's lock the door behind us. They won't find us. Make the whole world wait while we dance around this bedroom like we've only got tonight." So it's kind of like one of those first date kind of meetings or something. I don't know. Whatever. It's just... Whatever.
I think... maybe in terms of it being Satellite in the distance between, maybe it's like the sense I got listening to this song was, Chad's, character in the song is singing or talking to this chick. And it's like, I get this strong, will they, won't they, it's like these two friends dancing around. Do they want to take it to the next level sort of concept? So
right.
Like that's the vibe I got. But again, like you said, with the internet dating, it's just these two that are trying to get together, but there's this massive space between them.
Yeah.
But like I said, with a lot of these more emotional songs like this that Nickelback does so well, this is up there in that category.
Absolutely. All right. We are going to take another quick break. The next three songs you're going to hear, two songs you're going to hear is, next three, sorry. Get 'em Up, The Hammer's Coming Down, and Miss You. So we'll be back after this. We'll be right back.
could you do it? The strength was found. Stay right beside me when the ground starts shaking. The only sound you hear is the breath we're taking. If there is one thing I can promise you, we'll see.
All right, we are back, and it is time to get them up. Okay, this one, I almost got pissed, because I'm thinking, wait a second, they're sitting here singing about some guys going to rob a bank. I'm like, wait, are they, like, I know teenagers listen to this band. They follow this band. I know they do. And I'm thinking, that's kind of a bad message. Then I listen to the rest of the song, I'm like, oh, they're going for the irony here. This is basically, and I hate to say this, and I know you're going to groan when I say this, Get 'Em Up is Nickelback's 2014 reimagining of Alanis Morissette's Ironic. Because this song is nothing but irony, because the fact of the matter is, they try to rob a bank on Sunday. And they don't. Oh, God. This song.
I'm not going to completely disagree with you, but I think you're missing the point of the Alanis Morissette song, Mike.
No, well, yeah, but that shit happens all the time.
Yeah, because a lot of people rob banks on Sundays.
No. What I'm saying, like, the Alanis stuff happens, like, raining on your wedding day. You can't control that crap.
Yeah, but you can't control trying to rob a bank on Sunday.
Well, true. But, like, it really, like, you know, they do all this preparing, they do this practicing, and then, oh, shit, none of us realized it was Sunday. And, oh, shit, there's the cops, run! It's like, this, I would say, is their comedy song of the album. Because once you really listen to it a few times, you realize how crazy, stupid, hilarious it is of the situation that they're writing about. And I'm wondering what even possessed them to write this song. What's wrong?
No, I'm just trying to think. Nothing's wrong. I'm just trying to think of the right. I wouldn't. There is an element of comedy to the song and the lyrics and the story they're putting down.
Right.
I would liken this more to, say, Shaking Hands from Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of the story and that. And it's definitely got that more kind of grungy Nickelback sound, like an because we keep going back to their previous works. It's got some younger Nickelback to it, you know, with that the growl of the guitars in here, which mm-hmm. really add to the song. What's the word I'm looking for? Adding to the, you know, the style of this piece.
Right.
It's just,
what?
This is the only one that I just don't have an opinion on. Like, I can't see for, you know, like, for yay or for nay on this song. Like, it's a song.
Yeah.
It's I'm listening to it. It's just, it doesn't evoke any of particularly strong emotional response. Unlike another song that we'll get to further down this list.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I like the music behind it. I like the instrumentals. I like their riffs on it. The story is all right. It just, I don't know. It's kind of like, this entire song reminds me of the woman that would, or no, reminds me of the man that would duck out of the way of Larry throwing a pie, and then it hits the fat woman in the back. Like, this entire song reminds me of a Three Stooges moment. Seriously, it really does, because these guys, they do all this. You know, these guys do all this planning and they don't realize what day it is. It's like, seriously? It's so strange. All right.
Yeah.
So the Hammer's Coming Down is the next song in the list. It is track 8 on the album. This one is interesting. I feel like Kevin Flynn is going to go knock on the sky or something. It really, that's kind of what it
does, because it's got like that, it does, there's nothing on the wiki article that it says, but it sounds like they kind of did a little bit of, had an orchestra backing them up, mm-hmm. especially like in the first, and this one's got like this build throughout the song, like, you know, there's just like this intensity that's building in the background, you know, when they get, and then they get to the chorus and it's just boom, you know, and this is another one of the songs in the album. Like, you know, She Keeps Me Up and that Believe, it's got that pump up factor for me, you know, that mm-hmm. pump up the volume factor that, you know, gets me going. And it's another song that there's this power there that, it's very telling. Like, this is something that Nickelback excels at, you know, because they do these great tracks that just have this energy to it that you can't help but like.
Absolutely.
And I wouldn't necessarily call it a poppy song.
Oh, no, this is more of a, yeah.
This is like your, like a rock, it's a rock song, but it's got this infectious energy to it that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Next up, so next up on the album is track 9, which is Miss You. This is more of like Trying Not to Love You from Here and Now. This is their, this might be their next ballad single that they put out. I don't know,
yeah,
but I would assume they would probably use this one, as, you know, to get the girls to buy the album.
Just, we love you.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. This for me is the one where it's kind of like, I'm kind of indifferent to it. I enjoy it. I think it's a good song, but at the same time, I don't know. It just kind of flows from the Hammer's Coming Down to this, and then we'll get into, you know, once we take the next break, we'll get into the final two songs of the album. But, yeah. I mean, I like this. It's
good. It's, you're right. This is very much Trying Not to Love You. Like, it's cut from that same mm-hmm. kind of cloth, for lack of a better term. And I've said that a lot this recording, I realize. but it's got, again, it's got that emotional hook to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, this is another song like, you know, What Are You Waiting For? And Believe. It's got that quality. It's got that great Nickelback hook that you just want to sit still and just listen to the song and just enjoy mm-hmm. the song. You know, and it, very often, like when I'm at work and good songs come on like this, I take a seat and just listen to the music, you know, and just kind of de-stress, you know, just unclench for a little bit. And that's something I've always loved about Nickelback. I mean, they've always got these great, hard-driving, energy-filled songs, but they do, you know, let's take a moment sort mm-hmm. of songs. And that's this song on this album.
Oh, absolutely. Me. Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to take one final break. You're going to hear snippets of the final two songs on the albums, tracks 10 and 11. We'll be back after this.
just don't get along. But the whiskey and me both agree, maybe we're both just better off.
All right, folks, the final two songs on the album, Got Me Running Round and Sister Sin. Okay, so before I let JT before I let you go on your rant, I do have to say, there are two albums that came out this year that have collaborations on them that I just completely question. The first ever Rock and Radio episode of Geekcast Radio that we did, I did with Jesse Matrix Prime for Theory of a Dead Man, Savages. On Savages, the self-titled track of the album has a spoken word track in it from Mr. Alice Cooper. Now, as I said in that Rock and Radio episode of the podcast, I was expecting Tyler Connelly and Alice Cooper to sing together as a duet, more than just have Alice talking on the track, and I didn't particularly care for it. I wish there was a version of Savages, the song, without the spoken word in it. When Nickelback's No Fixed Address, which we're talking about now, came out, and I didn't even look at... I kind of looked at the track listing, but I didn't really, like, pay super close attention to it, so... When I started listening to the iTunes first play and this song came up, I'm like, okay, I'm digging this song. We get somewhere around, I think it's the 241 to just over the 3 minute mark. What the fuck is rap doing in my Nickelback? Seriously, what the fuck? And then yeah, it's flow. Go ahead.
Nah, it's just you finish and then...
This, it's Flo Rida, and I'm like, okay. Like, not that I have any disrespect for rap music or hip-hop or any of that. It's just not my thing, and I would rather actually be able to hear the lyrics than just hear somebody, you know, because that's half the time when I listen to rap, that's what it sounds. Rap is a really, really fast, horrible Charlie Brown adult to me at this point. So part of the lyric in this, is, God, in Flo Rida's section of the song, you know, hey, what a perfect Mrs. Mommy, she'll eat McDonald's, taste delicious, scream Madonna, knock this Swiss, so I guess she did it. I don't know if Chad wrote this for him or what the hell. I don't even know how this collaboration, like, I applaud Nickelback for being completely different than any other album that they did and even having a rapper on here. I just think it was the wrong rapper and the wrong damn song. Go ahead.
This is the worst track on the album. Now, I want to preface this by saying I like Flo Rida. I'm not a huge fan. I don't mind listening to his tracks because, unlike 90% of most of the rappers on the radio right now, you can understand what he's saying. He enunciates. I appreciate that. And he has a certain proclivity in a lot of his tracks to sing about getting his
pistol sucked.
Exactly. And I'm not like, oh God, that's disgusting or anything. It's just, Why? Okay, I'm better now. I'm going to be professional. I'm not going to. Okay, first of all, Chad, what the hell were you smoking when you know, if Chad Kroeger didn't come up with this collabo, the record company did, and they should be hung by their short and curlies for ever daring to suggest this. I'm sorry, I just don't like this one. I like the fact that they brought like the funk guitar back on this. Mm-hmm. You know, you get that wah, wah, wah kind of sound. Mm-hmm. And it's not, and again, you know, Flo Rida's very clear. You hear the words he's saying. They don't make a lick of bloody sense, but you hear what he's saying.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just don't like this track. And it's not that it's like bad or anything. It's just, unlike the other tracks on the album, I don't get what I don't understand what they're trying to say here. You know, what is the quote unquote narrative?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get it. I'm sorry, guys. I'm hitting the epic fail button. I'm sorry. I just can't I just don't like this track.
I think outside of the Flo Rida stuff, I think the point of the track is the fact that this woman that whoever the character's in a relationship with has got this guy running around and around and around and jumping through so many hoops. And I think it's a narrative on what some women treat guys.
Okay.
I think that's what it is. That's my own I don't know. I wasn't the writer. I'm not in the band. I'm just putting my own personal spin on it. That's just from reading the lyrics. That's what I think it is, where she is basically toying with the guy, and she is, you know, basically, you know, she is saying, you know, you can come with me and blah. It's almost like she's got a guy, you know, with a dog collar on, dragging him behind her at this point. The Flo Rida section.
Okay, I can get that.
The Flo Rida section makes zero sense. It really makes zero sense. And it's very, again, like I said on the other Rockin' Radio episode and earlier a minute ago, I would love to hear this song like I would love to hear Theory of a Dead Man's Savages without the collaboration. Like if you took Flo Rida's vocal out of this, I would really love the song. Because it's a really catchy beat and catchy song and all that, but
it's just, yeah, like I get that now. I that never really clicked in my head that it's, I mean, it seems obvious now that you've said it out loud like that. It's, yeah, like, okay, yeah, that's what they're going for. Okay, I get that. But ultimately, like, I just don't like this track. And it's probably, I'm going to guess it's 90% like the Flo Rida thing. It's like, I'm not against, you know, two completely separate genres coming together. I mean, this is not this is not peanut butter and chocolate. This is peanut butter and crushed gravel. I personally cannot enjoy this combination, and God love you if you do, folks, but, you know, I'm sorry.
This one, it doesn't remind me of this, but I'm going to use this as an example. Okay. You've heard Theory's Savages, right? You've heard that album, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have.
Sorry. This song is Nickelback's stretch of the imagination, where they wanted to reach out into another genre, and I think they failed with it because of the Flo Rida lyrics in it. However, Theory succeeded because, not that I think they were would ever hit the country charts, but they have Living My Life Like a Country Song on the album Savages. And it is a very country-sounding Theory of a Dead Man rock band. And it works. It works very well. This one, however, as I said, it just kind of doesn't work. And when I first heard this, I was, it took me a while, and it took me about 6 or 7 times listening to this song over and over to appreciate everything outside of the Flo Rida track.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning of the lyric, he is talking about, you know, you know, talking about, yeah, the lady and me both agree some days we just don't get along, but the whiskey and me both agree maybe we should just be better off. With the preacher believes that I'll meet one of these demons hanging on, but we that's Sister Sin, sorry. But you know, in Got Me Running Around, it's a song about where he's in love with this girl and then she just drags him along after a while. And it's kind of like that puppy dog love where you'll think of, God, I hate to bring this up, but think of 10 Things I Hate About You and think of Cameron's love for Bianca where, you know, I burn, I pine, you know, it's like, and Charlie, what's his name? Crap. David Krumholtz's character is like, yeah, move on. Put her in your spank bank and move on. That's really what this song is like.
All yeah, right. I get that. It's just, it's not that there is any non-redeeming factor. It's just, I just don't like it. So
yeah. Yeah, no, well, I'm not trying to convince you to like it. I'm just trying to enlighten you as to what I personally think is going on in the song. So, all right, final track on it is on No Fixed Address is Sister Sin. It's interesting. Give it that, I guess.
See, this one, I really enjoyed Sister Sin because it starts off with this kind of bluegrass
twang.
Kind of twang to it. And this one, I kind of got this, you know, what they're getting at with the story here, how this guy's sound, at least what I'm guessing is that they're going for this guy singing about, like, you know, he's fallen off the wagon. You know, he's met this chick and he's fallen off the wagon. He's losing this sobriety. Because they have the lyric, I've played second fiddle to the bottle for a little too long. And I think that's what it kind of, he meets this woman that kind of turns it around for him. And you know, mm-hmm. it's because by the end of the song, you know, she's left from reading, he's lie beside you every night and every day you might be gone. So it's like he's met this woman that, you know, is here today, could be gone tomorrow, but she's turned him around in some respect. And I really like that because that throughout the song, it's got that bluegrass twang, like that guitar riff and stomp kind of sound going. And I really enjoyed that in this one. I know. How about you?
I mean, I like it. I think it's a really cool track. It's a nice little ending track when you have this on repeat because you then go into that weird opening to Million Miles an Hour. No, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's an interesting story. I love the twanginess to it. I just wish that they would do more. Like, there's this giant conspiracy amongst Nickelback fans that Chad has some weird affinity for the number 11. I know All the Right Reasons had a number of bonus track additions and stuff like that, but you know, I love it when my favorite rock bands give me more than what I expect. Like, you know, I mean, Theory of a Dead Man with the bonus track edition for The Truth Is, that was like 18, 19 songs. And the original track is like, the original album is like 13 or 12 or whatever. And I get it. I understand it. Chad has said in the past that, hey, if the record company is going to pay us to do 11 songs, that's what we're going to do. And that's fine. That's more than fine because they're putting in the hard work and whatever else. I just wish that sometimes we would get a little bit more. Like, All the Right Reasons, there was like live versions of Photograph on that bonus track edition that they had released a couple of years later after the initial release and stuff like that. Overall, I dig the album. I would have to say my favorite songs are Million Miles an Hour, She Keeps Me Up, Make Me Believe Again, and Satellite. So those are my four favorites. I also like The Hammer's Coming Down, so five favorites. What about you?
What Are You Waiting For? She Keeps Me Up, Make Me Believe Again, Get 'Em Up, I mean, I pretty much love the whole album, like, right, unequivocally. Like I said, Edge of a Revolution, I like. It's just, I love it, but I don't love it. You know, and stuff like that. Satellite, I enjoy. Not entirely like Edge of a Revolution. Got Me Running Around, Can Die in a Fire. And that's, without courage, just... Of all the guys, why did you... I'm sorry, it's just like, I like Flo Rida, but I don't like Flo Rida, and you guys could have done so much better for a collaboration. What happened to you? Okay, I'm good. It's just, I don't like... I'm sorry, I just don't like it. Like, everyone's got those few songs in life that, you know, it's not that they're bad songs, they just hit some emotional chord that is just like, fuck you. And that's got me running around.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Let's see here. I'm not sure why, but this album is the first album since forever that they are not on Roadrunner Records. They left Roadrunner in 2013. And this is, they are now with Republic Records for this album. What I don't get is, doesn't he have his own damn record label? Doesn't he have 604 Records? Or did they fold that into Roadrunner? Did they sell that to Roadrunner? That's what I'm wondering. Like,
not entirely sure. Just looking that up here about Roadrunner Records, because I thought they had started Roadrunner back in the day.
Well...
Or something like that. Okay, no, it was launched in 1980 in the Netherlands, so then that goes right out the bloody window.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. Yeah. I mean, it happens a lot. You know, it's not... Okay, I'm looking... Okay, yeah, they're not even on the list of that's current Roadrunner artists, and holy shit, ran Dragon Force. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of good. Looking at Wikipedia for 604, Sir Chad Kroger, Attorney General, found in 2002. The records are distributed in Canada by Universal Music Group, 604 area codes, the Lower Mainland, which includes the city of Surrey, British Columbia, where the company's office is located. Companion label, Light Organ Records. See, I don't understand, like, they have all this stuff on 604, but I don't get why, like, instead of don't get me wrong, I like that they went to Republic, but it's just kind of weird that they're no longer with Roadrunner, because I've known them to be with Roadrunner their entire career. Maybe the Roadrunner execs didn't like what they were pumping out for No Fixed Address. I guess we should talk about the album title. No Fixed Address, it is basically because they recorded the album all over the place. They weren't ever settled in one place to record it, so...
Yeah, no, there's that, and I think also, and again, this isn't a bad thing, that this isn't this isn't a traditional Nickelback album, in that they, not only did they not record it in any one place, the sound isn't in any one place. Like, this is, again, like we said earlier, this is the first album where they really tried to stretch their wings and fly into, like, other, you know, genres with, you know, they're experimenting a little bit, and it's not overall, it's not, I like that No Fixed Address, because, you know, it goes one of two ways, and I think that is a really smart thing, especially with the album art, with, like, you know, it looks like they stole a bit from, like, the Universal Movies logo, you know, with, like, the lights coming off the world and all that. But I think that's a really smart idea to go with No Fixed Address like that, because they're not married to any one location. They're not married to any one specific genre. I mean, there's a lot of tracks on here that are very Nickelback, but some of the sounds in those tracks are not aren't stuff that we've heard before. So
All right. So, because it's probably going to be 2017 or 2018 before we get around to doing another Nickelback album. Out of the 2, 4, 6, out of the 8 albums, how would you rank them as of right now? First to last.
Favorite album from Nickelback would... It's kind of tied for first place, like Silver Side Up and Here and Now. Because Silver Side Up was very early in their career, like in the studio albums. And Here and Now is one of my, is definitely one of my favorites. So I'm going to say number one is a split between Silver Side Up and Here and Now. Then it would be All the Right Reasons, The Long Road. No Fixed Address would come before Dark Horse, but it would come after The State. Because I think The State, that was like their, just as they were, again, not an experimental album, but that's where they started to break away from their original grungy sound from stuff like, you know, Hesher and Curb. Curb would be on the bottom of the list. Not that I think it's necessarily a bad album. It's just, it's a very raw Nickelback, and I enjoy it, but it's not one that I go back to very often.
Curb is where I think they've... it's where I think that they have... they were... Curb was their experimental first album. Okay, Hesher is the kind of hidden first album. Curb is kind of the, you know, experimental, because Just Four on Curb is just like Just Four on Silver Side Up. It's just spelled differently. It's the same damn song. For me, I would put Here and Now and All the Right Reasons at number one. I would put The Long Road at number two. I'd put No Fixed Address at number three. Dark Horse at, well, Silver Side Up at number four. Dark Horse at number five. And then The State. The Curb, I don't really look at, because there are like three or four tracks out of those, whatever it is, 11 or 12 tracks. What is it? Out of those 12 tracks, there's only like three tracks off it that I really like. We should also mention that this is, isn't this the first album, No Fixed Address is the first one that they've done without Joey Moy? I think.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, because Joey Moy was producer on Here and Now, but he's not producer on No Fixed Address. So,
I'm just wondering if he'll ever work with Mutt Lange again, because...
For Dark Horse, yeah.
Well, I mean, it like I said, it's not my one of my all-time favorites, but I really enjoyed a lot of the tracks on Dark Horse.
Mm-hmm.
Like Burn It to the Ground. In lieu of playing Mortal Kombat after work, I'll listen to that song two or three times if I had a particularly stressful evening. So, you know. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. And Mutt Lange is just a guy who's had a lot of success with various rock acts over the years.
Right.
You know. And I got to say, I think the one positive thing I'll put on Got Me Running Around is definitely shows the playfulness and the fun that Chad Kroeger can have with a song. I will be honest and say I did enjoy that part of the song. And that's also like to speak of the whole thing with Nickelback playing at I don't think it was the Super Bowl, but they were the NFL Thanksgiving Day game. Was it?
Oh, yeah, a couple of years. 3 years ago. Yeah.
And they had, like, Detroit basically had, like, there was, like, a petition to ban Nickelback from playing at the halftime show. And in response, the band had a sense of humor about it. they did that Funny or Die video where they're dressing up like, what was it? I think Mike Kroger was dressed up as like Dave Coulier and, I forget who it was. And then somebody was dressed up as like Magnum PI and Chad comes in and like bargain basement high school play production RoboCop costume, which basically looks like 3 miles of duct tape, some cardboard and silver paint. And just how he ends the video, I'm keeping the costume and he walks out. You know, they had some fun with this album. And I think that's the thing I take away the most from No Fixed Address is it's a lot more fun than I think some people might realize.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just get my highest recommendation is give it a listen. You know, not every album can please everybody. Certain tracks on here certainly didn't please me, but it's a decent, it's not a great, but it's a decent Nickelback album.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we'll see what the future holds.
Yep. Cause I'll be listening to this for a while. I will say right now, when I do my top list of favorite albums of 2014, this is not going to be anywhere near number one or number two. Might be number three or number four. I like this album. I like a lot of the songs on here, but it's not what I was expecting, which is good. But as a longtime fan, I was expecting a little bit less of that. Like I'm one of those longtime Nickelback fans that I kind of expect them to do the same shit over and over and over again. All right, coming up next time on GeekCast Radio's feed, we are going to be going retro. That's right, we're returning to the retro podcast. We're going to have 3 episodes of retro, so that's coming up, and then we will do our GCR episode 75, which is our 5-year anniversary kind of recap and kind of our 2014 year in review show, so that's coming up. Where can the people find you online, sir?
They can find, if I might plug a show, you can find me, every week on the podcast Comic Connoisseurs I do with Ben, the host from Animation Aficionados, where, you know, we go over that week's comic books. And then we talk about a particular comic inspired topic and have generally good and decent conversations about that. And you can also find me on the Twitter sphere at JT from Saskatoon.
Awesome. So Unleash the Geek and you, go check out Nickelback's No Fixed Address. If anyone wants to buy me tickets to their February 25th show here in Louisville, Kentucky at the KFC Yum Center, send email to feedback at tftumike@gmail.com. Yeah, I really want to go to that goddamn show. The fucking VIP tickets are like the fucking VIP tickets are like $250. Like a standard ticket in like the upper section is like $32.60 a piece plus tax, which is fine, but still, yeah. Shoot me an email if anyone wants to send me to the Nickelback show coming to Louisville, Kentucky in February of 2015. tftumike@gmail.com. Unleash the Geek in You. We will catch you next time.
You've just listened to GeekCast Radio on the GeekCast Radio Network. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. First, visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on all of our different podcasts. Second, you can rate our show and leave us feedback in iTunes. Third, follow us on Twitter at geekcastradio. Fourth, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio. Call the voicemail line, 502-526-5821. Please remember to tell us the show you are leaving the message for and your name. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.